Okay, shalom. We're in the Piska Samach Dalid of Rav Kook's Einaya on Masechet Shabbat. And what we've seen the last couple of weeks, the rabbis are dealing with the question, why did we stop writing Megillat Ta'anit in the Galut? Where after we were exiled from the land of Israel with the destruction of the Second Temple about 2,000 years ago, beforehand, whenever there was a national tragedy and we were saved from it, they made a holiday, similar to what we do today in Yom HaTzma'ut, Yom Yerushalayim, Israeli Independence Day. But they stopped doing it. And as we saw in the Gemara last time, the reason, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, why did they stop commemorating new holidays? Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Af anu mechavvin et hatzarot, avo ma naaseh she'im banu lichtov in anu maspikin. There are so many tragedies that we have in exile, we can't even write them down. Davar acher, in shote nivga. Second explanation is that a foolish person is not affected. He is like Teflon, he doesn't realize what's going on. Davar acher, ein basar hamit margish beizmil. That a dead skin does not feel the sharpness of the knife. When skin is dead and you cut it off with a knife, there are no nerves there, so you don't feel it. Any, as the Gemara Mapitom, the Hamar of Yitzchak Kasheri Malameit Kemachad Bebasar Achai, Shnei Amar Ach Besaro Alav Yichav. Based on this pasuk in the book of Job, we see that dead people do feel the when the shratzim, the insects, the ants, they eat them, they feel the pain. So why do you say that a dead person doesn't feel the pain? Ema ein basar hamit shebachai margish beizmil. Dead skin on a live person, he doesn't feel it. We'll just see Rashi. In shote nivga, in pegara ba'alav. A foolish person, how do they say, ignorance is bliss. He doesn't even realize what's going on around him. Klomar, in other words, the reason why we don't establish new holidays whenever we were saved from a pogrom or something like that in the exile is because we're so foolish, we don't even realize what's going on. We have so many miracles that God saves us during the exile. We don't even realize them. There's the famous mashal of the Dubna Magid on the pasuk Hallelu et Hashem kol goyim, shabchu kol omim, ki gavar aleinu chazdo. It says that the goyim will praise God because He does chesed to us. And the obvious question is, why should the non-Jews praise God because He does chesed to the Jews? Should be because He does chesed to them. So, as is His way, He answers with a parable. He says that there was a partnership between a Jew and a non-Jew, and the non-Jew wanted to get the Jew. And what he did is he dug a pit, and he saw that the Jew, every morning, at 6:30 in the morning, goes with his nose in the Siddur, saying Psukei Dezimra, as he walks to Shul, and he doesn't even look what's going on around him. So the guy digs a pit right in the middle of the sidewalk. On the way, the Jew will fall in, and he won't know it hit him. So he digs the pit, he goes around and hides behind the bush, and he sees the Jew coming with his nose in his siddur, as he does every morning, 6:30 in the morning. And he's just about to fall into the pit. And remember Spy versus Spy in Mad Magazine? Right? And he's just really, you know, he's really, really excited he's going to fall in. And the Jew stops, checks his pockets, and he realizes he's forgot his glasses. He turns around and goes back home. Now, the Jew doesn't even realize the danger that was there. He doesn't realize that he was saved. And that's why the Jew doesn't thank God as much as the Goy. The Goy, who did the plot, he knows that what God did to save the Jew. Therefore, Hallelu et Hashem kol goyim, the non-Jews, they praise God, ki gavar aleinu chasdo, that Hashem does chesed for the Jewish people. Okay? So that's the first answer, that a person, when we're in the exile, we don't even realize how much God saves us, and therefore, that's another reason why we didn't establish new holidays in the exile. Basar hamet shabachai, hagadil be'adam achai, machmat makah, o machmat kviya. If a person is burned or has a certain scar tissue, even though he's alive, that skin is dead. Eino margish be'ezmil kishechotkinoto. When a knife or a scalpel cuts dead skin, he doesn't even realize it. And the Jewish people in exile are likened to dead skin, that we were stabbed a lot, but we don't really appreciate it so much. Why? Because we're numb. And that's the second explanation, third explanation, actually. See what Rav Kook does with this. Hatzarot haba'ot ala umah. The tzaros, the difficulties which come upon the Jewish nation. Yesh mehen she'ikar inyanan hu apachad al matzav ha'atid. There are two basic types of tzarot. One is to worry about what's going to be in the future. Ki yesh lifamim she'eza mamlacha tivgat chaverta bedavar katan. Often a certain government, a state, will hurt another state regarding some small detail. She'mitzad ha'inyan ha'hoveh, regarding the present, ein lo eze erech. It's not such a big deal. Mikom makom titragesh ha'uma nivgat me'od. But the nation who was harmed, they will be very upset. Because when we're talking about an entire nation, an entire country, they look ahead to the future. They don't just look at what's going to come now. Right? If Ahmadinejad is working on a nuclear bomb, the danger isn't now. The danger isn't within the first year. Maybe not even in the second year or third year that he has the nuclear bomb. But a healthy nation doesn't live from today to today. He looks ahead to the future and says, you know, hey, especially the Jewish nation, we're supposed to be living forever, for eternity. We can't absorb, we can't suffer, we can't let such a situation occur. And therefore, through a little ma'amatz, through a little effort, a nation can solve a problem. That's what we spoke about last week. In an independent nation, the cards are in our hands. We can decide how to deal with the problem, how to deal with the situation. We don't just have to suffer a problem. When you're independent, you can decide what to do about it. And that's chatzi nechama. Even though there are problems in running a nation, in running a state, obviously there are problems. Nevertheless, when you're independent, you can deal with the situation when it's small before it gets out of hand. There are other types of tzarot, of troubles, national troubles, which talk about troubles in the present, today, immediate problems. V'hineh k'shem she'adam eino yachol l'argish yafeh, ben besichlo, ben bargashato, ki in biyoto bari v'shalem b'chol kol chotav v'chushav. Only when a person is healthy does the body, the organism, react naturally. When a person is healthy and he eats something spoiled, he vomits it out, his body dispels it from this way or that. But when a person is sick and his mechanisms aren't, his reaction doesn't spit out the poison, doesn't spit out the bad food, then it stays in and it just festers and it gets worse and worse. Ken ha'uma ina yechola l'argish lo erech shel pachad, מצד איזה אסון כללי שנראה כנשקף למצב האומה בכללה לעתיד. וכן להרגיש יפה המרירות שיש בראות המצב ההווה. לא מצד הרע הפרטי המגיע לכל פרט, כי אם להרגיש את הרע הלאומי הכללי. When a person is unhealthy, and he relates, as the national individuals relate to a problem as individuals, you don't even realize the problems, because it doesn't affect you. I remember at one shlav in the Intifada, it was one night after Maariv, somebody was talking about that somebody was stoned, and somebody asked them, what road was it on? Was it on the Kvish Beit El, the Gavahar, or was it on our road? So he said he was on his way back from Ofra, and it was on the road from the other road. So the guy said, "Who? Baruch Hashem." You know, that's the way a Jew in Galut would react, where he doesn't see himself as part of a nation. You know, if there's problems in Sderot, hey, I live in the north, you know, they're just shelling in the south. Or if their Hezbollah is shelling in Haifa, and he says, oh, thank God, I'm living in the south. You know, and he doesn't even feel it as a national problem. Rav Kook says that's unnatural. When there are problems, you know, just like very often the people in Tel Aviv, they don't think about if a Jew is slaughtered in Itamar, well, oh, that's a mitnachel. You know, he's a settler, that's not me, that's not going to reach me. Yeah, it's a different people. And Rav Kook says that is one of the tragedies of Galut. That Jews stopped seeing ourselves as one national entity. Everyone's worried about themselves. I know Rav Soloveitchik said many, many times that there is an eternal blotch on the Jewish community in America that didn't do enough to save their brothers in the Holocaust. Where at a certain stage they didn't know, but after a certain stage they knew very well what was going on. And they could have pressed Morgenthau and the president, and there's a famous book, A While 6 Million Died, by Arthur Morse, where it was a bestseller, and where he documents that the Jewish community, for unfortunate reasons, I know from my family, when I asked people from that generation, you know, why didn't you protest, demand America to let more refugees in, they used to call them refugees. So one person in the family said, well, we didn't want more greenhorns here. In other words, I'm an American, I've been here all of 25 years, you know, and they looked at themselves and their Jewish brothers as a separate entity. And that is one of the tragedies of Galut. That's unnatural. Now we find this in the Tanakh as well, where in the book of Shoftim, as opposed to Sefer Yehoshua, where if you remember, when Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, the 2.5 tribes, didn't want to come to war, it's actually in the Torah, Moshe was very angry at them and said, no, you got to go and help your brothers when they conquer. It's a national war. All Sefer Yehoshua, Am Yisrael fights together. In Sefer Shoftim, what's the very first pasuk? Vayhi acharei mot Yehoshua, after Yehoshua dies, Vayishalu bnei Yisrael b'Hashem lemor, bnei Yisrael ask God, through the Urim v'Tumim, the breastplate, Mi ale lanu el haKnani b'tchila lilachem bo? Which shevet is going to go up first to fight the Knanim? And Chazal stressed that one of the motives that goes through all the Sefer Shoftim says, Ein melech b'Yisrael ish hayashar be'inav ya'aseh. When there was no king in Israel, everyone's out for themselves. Even the Shvatim are out for themselves. They said, which Shevet is going to go and fight for us? A Chazal, in their way in the Midrash, it's, how to learn Midrash is a chokhman into itself. Chazal said at the beginning of Sefer Megillat Rut, Vayhi b'Mechvot HaShoftim, they bring the pasuk in Mishlei, in the book of Proverbs, Atzla Tapil Tardema. Laziness causes complacency. Al yedei shenitatzlu Yisrael lasod gmul chesed liYehoshua. Because when Yehoshua died, according to the Midrash, they didn't give him the proper burial. Why? The Midrash explains. Chazarnu al al yedei shenitgashu Yisrael miasod gmilut chesed liYehoshua. Beota sha'a nechleka eretz Yisrael. Right, what's the end of the book of Yehoshua? They spend the last 7 years dividing the land among the tribes. Vaita chaluka chaviva aleihem yoter midai. Notice the words of Chazal. The division to tribes, the allegiance to your tribe, as opposed to the national allegiance which Yehoshua represented, that's what all the Sefer Yehoshua is about, the idea of being split up into tribes, having your allegiance to your chamula, to your clan, as opposed to your nation, it became very beloved to them, this idea of separation. Vayu Yisrael oskim bimlachtan, and everyone was busy with their work. Ze osek besadeu, ze osek bekarmo, ze osek bezeitav, ze osek bepotzmo. This one's building his house, this one's working in his field, this one's pickling his olives. Everyone's working for ish hayashar beinav yaseh. Everyone's worried about themselves. Now, this is in the land of Israel, where the danger is when things are good and there's no war and there's no national calamity, there's a danger that people turn inwards. What Rav Kook is saying is how much more so in the Galut, in the exile, where for 2,000 years we really were individuals. We did not have a nation. We didn't have a national army. And the Jew solved the problem. He fought with his passport rather than with a gun, rather than with an army. And by the way, it's not a shiur in Tanakh, but if you look in Megillat Rut, Rut is exactly the contra of Shvot HaShoftim, where all of the Sefer of Rut, Chazal say, is one word, chesed, giving. Rut wants to help her mother-in-law, and Boaz wants to help Rut, and everyone wants to help Rut, and they want to help Naomi when she comes back. And what's the end of the Sefer? And Rut had this one, who gave birth to this, who gave birth to this, who gave birth to this, who gave birth to David. Malchut, the idea of the kingdom of Israel, the nation of Israel, is the idea of unity, where Jews are one unit, and we care about each other, and we help each other. And if there are problems in the north, or the south, or the east, or the west, we all get up together, and we go to war. That was what was in Sefer Yehoshua. That's what is supposed to happen in Sefer Melachim, and that's why David HaMelech is the natural outcome of Rut, of the idea of chesed, of altruism, as opposed to self-centeredness. Galut is self-centeredness, right? Everything is, as Martin Buber said, I, thou, between me and God. But we don't, that national aspect we don't have. And therefore, Rav Kook is explaining, when we were in exile, we didn't even relate to tzarot. Why? Because as long as the tzarot didn't affect my popik, it was just the Jews, the Sephardic Jews, or the Ashkenazic Jews, or just the Yemenite Jews, or those Jews, or those Jews, as long as it's not on my kvish, it's not on my road, it's not my problem. And this is a very non-Jewish approach. And this is one of the tragedies of the exile. As the Maharal writes in Netzach Yisrael, the tragedy of exile in a nutshell is that the unnatural is thought of to be natural. When people think it's natural for Jews to be scattered, for Jews to live in New York, Jews to live in South America and Australia, and that unnatural situation where Jews think of themselves as communities or as individuals and not part of one nation, that is the tragedy of exile. And that's why, how Rav Kook beautifully explains, why we didn't establish new holidays for salvation in the exile, because we didn't see too many tragedies, because it was their problem, not our problem.
Can I ask a question? I mean, I understand what you're saying, and in relation to things like the Shoah, but it also seems it doesn't gel that well in terms of other experiences. I don't know about America, but certainly in Europe or Britain, you know, growing up as a Jew amongst all the goyim, you identify more with other Jews than certainly not with the other people around you. And things like the drive to free the Soviet Jewry, etc. There was a great deal of caring by, you know, one Jewish community for another.
The fact that there is very good, but it wasn't enough. It is true that Jews would accept refugees because Bechozot, we are a family, but it wasn't enough. It's not like, also the idea of the Soviet Jewry, where did that come from? That was because of the State of Israel. Because we, after the Holocaust, the Asimon fell. We understood that 6 million grains of sand can't do anything because they're all individuals. 6 million individuals, you can get rid of one by one. Just like the famous mashal of, if you take a bunch of sticks and you bundle them together, you can't break them. But if you take each one individually, you just break one twig at a time and it's no problem. And that's exactly one of the lessons. Rav Soloveitchik and all the rabbis, his students, the rabbis of the United States, who he went out of his way to point out that is what we have to learn from that blotch that we mentioned before. The embarrassment of the 6 million was our fault because we didn't see that as our problem. And thank God we learned our lesson, and that's exactly what we should say. When we do act properly, kol hakavod, but unfortunately, in Judy, I think I mentioned last week, even within my wife's family, nobody could even take care of the parents. Nobody could save their spouse. Nobody could save their brother. So one brother got papers, he ran to America. My father-in-law, his brother got papers, he snuck out, came to Palestine. Another sister survived by getting papers and sneaking out to Argentina. They couldn't even save each other. It's every man for themselves. And that is the problem, that's one of the tragedies of the exile, that the idea of unity, of nationalism, of altruism, is unfortunately missing. You know, maybe I'll already read in this vein something we mentioned once, Rav Charlap, Rav Cook's prize student, in his Sefer Mimaneh Yeshua, says it very, very concisely. Ve'omnam, kishemagia torid galut sa'adea ge'ula, when the beginning of the footsteps of redemption reappear, reshita tshuvahi, the beginning of tshuva, l'shuvu l'akitz michadash et musagei haklal hane'elam shel Yisrael. For 2,000 years, we were turning inwards. We looked at ourselves as individuals. And that's why the Zionism has to be the first step of redemption. Not a return to Shabbat, not a return to Kashrut, but a return to nationalism, to Zionism. To break out of your self-centeredness, to remember, I am altruistic. Like God, that's what it is, to be godly, to be altruistic.
There's something funny though, because first of all, not only Jews have that problem, and it seems as though when there is some kind of an ethical problem in the world, the Jews are the first to realize it. Today was in America was Martin Luther King Day, and who more than the Jews had a concern for it, and the and the situation in southern Sudan. Who was worried about all those Christians? Not the Christians in America or Europe, the Jews.
And that's an unfortunate common problem, that it's easier to give to somebody who's far away from you rather than to somebody who is your political nemesis, even if he's your brother. That's why it's easier for leftists in their selective humanism to befriend Palestinians, even though they know that they're hate their guts, and they want them in the sea, but it's easier than to befriend a settler, or somebody who's religious, or somebody who's Haredi, because he's your political competitor. It's like the selective humanism of Hitler, Yimach Shemo, was a vegetarian, and he had a menagerie. Yeah.
Shalom says if you could get your chesed taken care of by helping animals, you would never help a person because it's so much easier.
Right. Ki im biyoto briya b'tachsisei ha'lumim baretza mamlachta migdasha v'kohaneha shofteha v'sareha. In a natural situation where we're in the land of Israel, and we have a government, and we have a Beit HaMikdash, and Kohanim, and Shoftim, and we're one unit. We go to Miluim together. We serve in the army together. We pay taxes together. The idea of the cohesive unit, that's what part of what nationalism is about. Alken, bigalut e efshar klal sheyurgash mitzad ha'oma shum dvar tzara klalit bechol tokef rishuma. That's why, unfortunately, in the galut, we don't really feel the pain of our brothers. You also have to remember, for most of the galut, there wasn't newspapers, there wasn't television. Most of the Jews in Europe didn't know what was going on in Yemen, and the Jews in Yemen didn't know what was going on in Europe. We couldn't even help each other, even if we wanted to help each other. Ve'ein ra'ui lichtov dvarim klaliyim bishvil haklal ki im mishu chalitzayram b'cholom kamu mahudam. And that's why we did not establish for 2,000 years, we didn't establish national days of salvation, because even when we were saved, it wasn't really a national salvation. We didn't feel the tzara, and therefore we didn't feel the redemption. Aval misha margishim rak betor tzara pratit lo olifratim rabim lo higia ad haroshem shetzarich laasot davar shel tzarat ha'uma. Maybe it's worth mentioning here the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva. I heard recently that somebody asked from Soloveitchik about the Neturei Karta. Those who support the enemies of Israel, who support the Arabs, who go and hug the president of Iran and picket against the state of Israel. And they asked Rav Soloveitchik his opinion. So he took down the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph, and he read as follows. He said, the Rambam says all that has to be said. Ha-porish mi-darkei tzibur. Somebody who separates himself from the community of Israel. Afal pi shelo avar averot. Even if he doesn't do any sins. He could be glat kosher. He could be observant. He could have payas down to his pupik. Ela nivdal me'adat Yisrael. But he separates himself from the people of Israel. Ve'eino osa mitzvot bichlalan. He does the mitzvot, but he doesn't do them together with the nation of Israel. He does them as an individual. Lo nichnas betzaratan. He is not pained when Am Yisrael is in danger. Lo mitaneh beta'anitam. When Am Yisrael is fasting because they don't have rain, he doesn't care. I live in Australia, I have rain, right? Or I live in the south, and the problem's in the north. Or I live in America, and the problem's in Europe. Somebody who takes that approach, again, he's religious, but nationally, he doesn't identify with the nation of Israel. He sees himself as a religious Jew, but as part as national-wise, he sees himself a Canadian, American, an Australian. But he doesn't identify with the nation of Israel. He has no share in the world to come. And this is very, very serious. Right, the Rambam says there are only 24 people who have no share in the world to come. This is one of them. Even somebody who doesn't do any sins. But he's not upset when the nation of Israel is upset. And he doesn't rejoice when the nation of Israel's rejoice. But he said, you know, I'm an individual Jew. He is not going to be with Am Yisrael in the world to come. That's what Karait is about. He cuts himself off from the nation of Israel.
That's what they call Neturei Karta.
The Mesilat Yesharim in Perek Yud Tet also writes similarly. This is in the Biur Chalkei Chasidut. Kol Chacham Yisrael sheyesh bo dvar Torah. Any scholar of Israel who has a share in the Torah, la'amito, truly has a true share in the Torah, u'mit'aneach al kvodo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'al kvodan shel Yisrael kol yamav. He cries when the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of Israel, is stamped, when the honor of the nation of Israel is tread upon. U'mit'aven u'meitzer l'chvod Yerushalayim. He yearns for the kavod of Yerushalayim, for the national honor. V'lichvod Beit HaMikdash, v'liyeshua shetitzmach bikarov, v'likinuz galuyot, that all the Jews should come back to the land of Israel. Zoche l'ruach HaKodesh bidvarav. That is the level right before Ruach HaKodesh. And he goes on. And again, quotes the same idea that a person has to celebrate when the nation of Israel is celebrating, and has to be sad when the nation of Israel is sad. Right? During the War of Independence, a Jew who sided with the Arabs, it wasn't just Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Henkin, who wasn't such a big Zionist. He also has an article at home. He writes in Tshuva Ibra. He says the Neturei Karta have no share in the world to come because they're Mosrim. Somebody who sides with the enemies of Israel when Am Yisrael is attacked, he writes there, I'm not such a big Zionist, but if 600,000 Jewish lives depend on the welfare of Tzahal and of the army of Israel, we got to do everything that we can to help the Jewish people. Right? And we're not talking about Zionism. We're talking about a love of Israel, a love of God, a love of God's nation, of unity, of altruism, that you're not just an individual. That's the whole point of the Pisgah here. And that was the tragedy of the Galut, that we saw ourselves as individual. Vine anachnu. By the way, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook writes, he mentions these sources in the context of Yom HaTzmaut. He says, somebody who doesn't celebrate the Israeli Independence Day has a very serious problem religiously. He doesn't say has no share in the world to come, but that's basically what the Rambam is saying.
Yes,
Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook. He writes it on the 19th celebration of Israeli Independence Day, where he says, he asked the question, where are all the Haredim? Why don't they celebrate Yom HaTzmaut? Isn't Am Yisrael happy? Weren't we in the danger of seven invading Arab armies swearing that they're going to drive us into the sea? And we were saved. How can you not only thank God, that's another issue, but if you love Israel, you should be ecstatic. If Israel is happy, you should be happy. And when Israel was in danger, you should also help out. The same thing with somebody who doesn't serve in the army. Right? If Israel is in danger, how can you not help out? At least volunteer to fill sandbags, right? V'hinei anachnu ba'avonenu avadnu zot hargasha ligamrei. Unfortunately, in the Galut, you all see where Rav Kook is going, we became like dead skin. Ve'af im yomar adam shemitzar b'tzaratan shel Yisrael. Even if a person says he does feel the tzara of Yisrael, here Rav Kook is obviously quoting word for word the Rambam that we just read. Lo yuchal itpa'er bil vavo ki hu yored ad omka shel tzarat haklal. If you're living in Australia or in America, and Am Yisrael is in danger somewhere else, you cannot really totally feel that imo anuchi b'tzara, right? When in Parshat HaShavua, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, He is with Am Yisrael b'tzara. And Chazal stress that is what we should learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why, another reason why you have to live with Am Yisrael.
The kibbutz galuyot, the ingathering of the exiles, is sort of similar to tchiyat hamitim, the dead skin, the coming back to life.
Mm-hmm. Yafeh. It's a nice analogy. Yeshua says that the coming back of the Jews, of the revival of the dead, is like the skin coming back to life. Ki zot hargasha e efsharit lanu, ki avadnu et hadrachim shebahem, val yadam efshar largish tzarat haklal. When we were spread out in exile, we didn't have the apparatus. We technically, even if you really were altruistic and you really wanted to help out, you didn't know about it. And you didn't have an army, and you couldn't participate. Al kein dvarim shel sipurei tzarot haklal mitzad hapachad l'sakanat matzav ha'lumi sheyesh bahem ein anu yicholim la'arichem karaui mipnei she'ein shoteh nivga. In exile, we were like the fool who doesn't feel. Because we didn't feel, because we were living as individuals, and didn't have that natural national framework. Hapikeach shemakir erech hasakana. Because on the other hand, a wise person who appreciates what danger is about. Sholech bimakom sakana shetzafuihu le'ason. Right, as opposed to a child who doesn't realize what danger is about. Ignorance is bliss. Hu nivga, a wise person, nivga mitmugeg vatzavav yitragshu. Ma she'en ken ha-shoteh, hu lo yibahel mipnei she'eno makir erech ha-chayim v'lo erech ha-sakana. Somebody who doesn't appreciate the value of life, Right? After 2,000 years, when Goyim tell Jews, your blood is cheap, your blood isn't as red as our blood, Jews eventually start to believe it. And we react to Jews being killed. Oh, another Jew was killed. Another Jew was killed. If you remember during the Intifada, during right after Oslo, when there were hundreds of Jews who were killed within 1 year, and you become immune to it. And that is not a wise person. That's a shotet. That's a foolish person who also doesn't value life. Look at the suicide bombers, right? A suicide bomber who doesn't care about the life of the women, of the children, of himself. That is a calamity. That's a calamity, that foolish people don't appreciate life. Now, that's regarding a suicide bomber. What's even more tragic is when we ourselves, you know, hear of a chas v'shalom, a terrorist attack, and we say, oh, what can you do?
They're proud of it.
Right? Rav Kook says, you can't say, what can you do? An independent, normal state says, we have to do something about it. And that's a natural situation. When we talk about the future, like we said before, when you're a nation, a good president, a good prime minister, doesn't just think of his 4-year cadencia. He really thinks of what's going to be 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 100 years from now. That's national responsibility. But not when you're in exile. When you're in exile, you just want to finish the month. You want to finish the year. You want to manage. You don't. It's not your state. Right? You don't care if there are problems with the Polish economy, we'll move to Germany. Problems in Germany, we'll move to America. They're not really our problems, and therefore you don't take those problems so seriously.
It's the problem of not having a king, because a king has ideally a long reign, and he's not limited to the few years of national
right.
Dealing with the one emergency.
And the king even wants to make sure that his son, in his son's time, it'll also be good. V'chein dvarim shem tzarot shel ahoveh. Anu einenu mesugalim largish klal et omek hamrirut sheyesh behem mitzad tzarat haklal. Ki avadnu et hakesher amiti v'chayut ha'amitit shel ha'amimiyut. Right, the natural feeling of a nation, where a nation is in trouble, it's natural to want to solve the problem, to feel the tzara. Al ken ein anu margishim keshem she'ein basar amit margish be'izmil. Just like when you have dead skin, or a scar, and you're not sensitive anymore, that is part of the tragedy of exile. You know, if you look in Yirmiyahu, you see the Jews, where their whole, they told Yirmiyahu, God's not going to exile us, he can't exile us, because if we're in exile, there's no temple, there's no prophecy, there is no chosen people, it's a chilul Hashem, and that's why he's not gonna, it can't be, right? On the other hand, in exile, you always have a solution that even if things are bad, they're not really bad, because I'll move to New York, move to Australia, move to where, and that is an unnatural situation. An Italian, if he has problems, he's gonna climb the barricades, he's gonna fight, he's gonna dig in, he's gonna get up on his hind 2 feet and fight for his country. He's not just going to pick up his bags and move to another country. Jews think
it's... Lots of Italians move to America.
America is a different. That's part of the modern world idea of nayadut, of moving around. That's a modern concept.
Italy didn't become a nation until well into the 19th century because the people were concerned about their own tribalism.
Right. That's what we're talking about. The tribalism, your land... Normal people are attached to their land, right? You can't just pick up and if your livelihood is your land, you can't leave your land. Jews for 2,000 years didn't own land, didn't work the land, and therefore they were always picking up and moving. And that's why they didn't feel tragedies as much. In ken gami nitzayer ez etzara besefer, nitzayra rak kafi hakaratenu. Vakaratenu enena ola lemala mi erech shel haprat o amon pratim. And even if we do feel tragedy in exile, it's just tragedy that we think of for individuals, or many individuals, a community. Ve'einanu yecholim le'asot shlichei tzibur le'ktivat hatzarot. But we can't and we didn't write national problems. Shezot yakdusha shruya b'chol ofen al davar klali shenichtav b'avur klal Yisrael kemgilat ta'anit. You know what, maybe I'll just mention, we don't have too much time, Rav Kook writes in one of his Igrot, it's in page 134 in Igrot, the answer to a very interesting question that's directly connected. Why is it that the Tanakh does not talk about reward and punishment, almost doesn't talk about reward and punishment in the world to come, in the revival of the dead? Right? When we talk about reward and punishment, Vayayim Shamoa, if we do the mitzvot, what does it say? What will we get? We'll get rain. We'll have peace in the land. There will be a good economy. Our enemies won't come to our land, right? If I would ask any four-year-old in the nursery here, what does God give to somebody who does the mitzvot? He'll say, he gets share in the world to come. Right? That's what all of us, that's what we were taught. Why doesn't it say that in the Tanakh? So without getting into the Bible critics and... Right. In the academic world, they would say, well, Judaism really didn't believe in the world to come, and that was just a later day idea that came in through the back door into Judaism. Rav Kook says, it's very simple. Exactly. What? The Torah wants to educate us that what should occupy you is not my share in the world to come. My share in the revival of the dead. That's not what's supposed to preoccupy you. What's supposed to preoccupy you is it good for the Jews? Is there rain for the Jews? Is there peace for the Jews? Is there money for the Jews? Not do I have money in my bank account, but does Am Yisrael as a nation have it good? And that's why the Torah Davka wants to educate us. Now, what happens when we went into exile? And that's why, when do we start finding the latter day books in the Tanakh? Like Daniel talks explicitly about the world to come. Why only in the later day, when we were in exile, that's when we started talking about Olam Haba? Why? Because there's no rain in Israel. That's not what affects us. That's not what preoccupies us. Rav Kook gives the mashal that when the sun is shining properly, you don't see the light of the stars. When true Judaism is shining properly, when we're living a life of the Tanakh as the nation of Israel, in the land of Israel, concerned with the security of Israel and the economy of Israel, and all of our life is altruistic, and whenever there's a fire, it's our fire, whenever there's a kidnapped soldier, it's our soldier, and what interests us is that it's good for Klal Yisrael. But after there's no Klal Yisrael, when we're sent into exile, that's when there's no sun, that's when you start seeing the shining stars. And that's when Jews started talking about my share in the world to come. But that's not really what is supposed to preoccupy us. And if you look in the Shemona Esrei, there's not even one bracha asking for a share in the world to come. The bracha of Mechaye Amitim is in Shevach. It's not in Bakasha. Right? It's a praise for God, but it's not a request. There is only at the very end of Valetzion, a very late tefillah, something which was written very clearly in the exile. Yiratzom lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avotenu shenishmor chukech, that we should do the mitzvot, v'nizkeh, v'nichyeh, v'nireh, v'nirash, tova v'racha lishnei imot ha-mashiach, ulechaye ha'olam haba. That's the only time. Check the Seder. It's the only time. That's a very, very late bracha, which was written during the exile. Bekitzur, what's supposed to preoccupy us is the nation of Israel, and not myself, not even my spiritual self. The physical welfare of the nation of Israel is something spiritual, because that's altruistic. My spirituality is egoistic. And also, there is a way of being spiritually egoistic. Let me just finish off. לפי המידה השלמה לאומית הכללית. על כן, יש בסגולת דבריהם לעשות רושם כללי. מה שאין כן, right, that was when we were in the land of Israel, and we had national tzarot, and when we were saved from the national tzarot, we would establish new holidays. מה שאין כן, אנו כשנכתוב בתור כותבים בעד הכלל את הצרות הכלליות. Even if we were to write the tragedies of Klal Yisrael during the exile. Noridan me'erkan al yedei mi'uta karatenu v'chosar argashatenu. It's not real. It's artificial because you don't really feel it. Because you also didn't know about it, and you didn't really, you weren't part of it. And you were living life as individuals. ולא תצא אותה תועלת הרצויה שיוצאת מהדברים הכלליים שכתבו מאנשי רוח השם בעוד רוח עמנו היה כמו חי ניצב ועומד על עמדו הנכון. And we wouldn't have reaped the benefit of establishing new holidays like we did during the time of the exile. And if Rav Kook were alive today, he would add, as his son did, as we mentioned before, that's what Israeli Independence Day is about. That's what Yom Yerushalayim, celebrating the victory of the Six-Day War, is about. Because, thank God, we're back as a nation the way we should be.